Hi, this is Eliza. Thanks for listening to my podcast. So this is going to be a philosophy podcast where I basically just rant about my ideas that I have about anything from neuroscience to politics to physics to psychology, just whatever really comes to mind. Today I wanted to do something that I've been thinking about for a long time. It was kind of my first philosophical thought, and anyone who knows me has heard me talk about it ad nauseum, probably. And that is the idea of determinism and free will. So just for starters, for people who are less familiar with these topics, free will is kind of just the idea that everything we do as independent, agents, I guess, and that, so everything we have done, we could have done otherwise, basically. So to say we have free will is to say, like, I had eggs for breakfast, but I could have had bacon or whatever. It was my choice in that moment to have eggs for breakfast, which is kind of how I think most people think of life and think of decisions we make, because when you're making decisions, it really does, you know, seem like we're weighing options. And I mean, that's how I thought about the world and human decisions until I learned about this concept of determinism. And the concept of determinism is the idea that, which stemmed from the more we got to know physics concepts, the more it became clear to scientists that really, if you know the initial conditions and the laws of a physical system of which we humans are a part, then you can actually predict everything. And if you had even then all the information about, like, someone's brain, all the parts that make up the brain, like all the particles and neurons and everything are physical particles, and it's a physical system as well. So if you knew everything about the brain, then theoretically you'd be able to predict all the future. So then that kind of puts some pressure on this idea that we have free will, because if, you know, we could predict everything and there's one way for everything to play out according to initial conditions in the brain, which we can't control, and then the laws that govern the way the brain works, which we also can't control, then how can we say that really we are controlling the actions we take and decisions we make? And so that is kind of the, I guess, how determinism and free will contradict each other by those definitions. So after, I guess, hearing the reasoning that determinism rests on, I was pretty immediately convinced, and I was like, wow, like, it makes perfect sense that, you know, all the decisions we make, there are reasons behind all of those. And, you know, our brain, we're not really creating a decision that we could have, such that we could have done otherwise, but really we're just deducing in each moment what is the best, or what we think is the best course of action, you know, given everything that we already know. And so, you know, all the information that you have in a certain moment, if you went back to that moment however many times, your decision is always going to be the same, because nothing has changed. You're always going to do the same thing. And so, you know, and that's based on just what our brain thinks is best for us, so, which we can't control. So we don't really have free will in the sense that we could have done otherwise, because it's not up to us what we think is best. And I mean, I think that English is a difficult, I guess, language to use. I mean, there's really no good language to use to express this idea. English, I mean, people have different ideas of what they mean by free will, and I've learned that in reading more and more about these ideas over the years, because, you know, some people, what they mean by free will isn't that we could have done otherwise. It's really, some people just mean that we make decisions, which it's hard to argue against that, unless you define a decision such that you could have done otherwise, which I don't think, I mean, that's simply not the way we use the word decision. We just mean we are just referring to that feeling that we have of like having multiple options when, because we don't know the future, even though we did know, like have all the information about, you know, the world now, we would theoretically be able to predict what decision we'd make. We don't in actuality. So it makes sense that we speak as if we do have free will, you know, and act as if we do, even though that's not really the case. But some people, what they mean is just like with the word decision, they just mean, when they talk about having free will, they just mean having that illusion of having a decision, which then it would make sense to say that we have free will. But I think that kind of allows us to overlook this very real, very enlightening idea that, you know, theoretically, if we knew everything about the universe, we would be able to predict everything in the future. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about. So I think it's helpful to have words to describe that, and saying that we lack free will is a way that we can do that, because we already, I mean, like I said, we already say that we make decisions. So I think that's the way we can describe the feeling of not knowing what we're gonna decide. We just say that we're making decisions, and then free will is the thing that we don't have. So we do have decisions, we do make choices, but we don't have free will. I think that's the best way to define things. Because then we can really think about this idea of lacking free will. And I think, like I said, there are some really insightful, helpful things there. I mean, some people are really scared by the idea that we don't have free will. They think of it as like, oh, well, you know, if I can't help what I do, then why do anything? And I think that's a really just bad way of thinking about it, because, I mean, we still, no matter really how much information we try to gather about the world, we're mere humans. We're in this system, so we can't know everything about it. It's always gonna feel as though we have free will, and so it doesn't really, like, it shouldn't affect our motivations for doing things, you know. Are all the motivations that determine our decisions are gonna remain there? Like, it's not just the idea that we can make decisions that fuels those decisions, you know. Like, I still want to be happy in life. I still want to cause positive emotions. It shouldn't matter whether, you know, it's my, like, I am an agent in causing those positive emotions. Even if, you know, I understand that all my decisions and, like, my work to gain those positive emotions stem from prior causes and external factors, that doesn't mean that I don't still want to achieve those things. So I think that, you know, that shouldn't and doesn't really, like, it can't matter, 'cause really I mean, we're organisms. We're just beings who want to survive, and we're still going to want to survive whether we're convinced that we have free will or not. And I think even people who say that they would find it sad if we didn't have free will, or wouldn't really, their lives wouldn't really change even if they were told that they don't, even if it were taken as a, like, a given and like a known accepted scientific fact that we don't. Because I mean, they're still, like I said, they're still, you're still gonna have all the motivations regardless. So that's why I think that that's not really a threat to free will, nor is it a concern that it that lacking it comes with. And conversely, I really think that there are some heartening ideas that come along with acknowledging determinism. And that is just the idea that, I mean, if, you know, all our decisions are fueled by things outside of our control, then maybe that says something about morality. I think that it is human nature to view certain people as bad people based on some decisions they make, but I think that the idea of determinism kind of forces you to think about why people made those decisions, and it forces you to realize that if you were in the position of whatever other person, then you would have made that decision too. So, like, if someone, you know, steals or whatever, you might, one's initial reaction might be, oh, like, stealing is bad, I wouldn't have done that. But if you understand determinism, then you understand that there are reasons that led to them deciding to steal, and then what those reasons are might have been like, oh, they, you know, their family was starving or something, and that's why they stole. And then I think it's easier to understand other people's actions and sympathize with them and acknowledge that it must be that if you were in their position, you would have done the same thing. Because in their position, you would have experienced everything that they've experienced and been born with their genes. And that's all there is to any decision. It's just having experienced everything prior to that moment. So it's all like linear chain, causal chain of events. That's all that someone's life is. And so then if someone makes what is perhaps thought of as a bad decision, really they're not a bad person so much as, you know, unlucky to have been born with maybe genes that caused their brain to work in a way that maybe, like, prevents them from being able to sympathize with others, which is unfortunate. Doesn't really make them a bad person because they can't help it. It's really unfortunate. Or on the other hand, maybe they were raised, if they, you know, were neurotypical, maybe they were just raised in an environment in which they weren't taught like sympathetic values, or they experienced trauma that led them to make decisions that were harmful to others, or, you know, seen as bad. Yeah, so I think that way of understanding the world is just, like, allows us to understand others better, and to sympathize with others better. And I think that if, you know, there could potentially be some really positive repercussions for, I mean, prison systems, for one, if more people thought about the world in this way. Because I think that thinking that we have free will really allows people to, I guess, put blame on others and, like, think that they deserve revenge or negative emotions, and then that manifests itself in legal systems as like prisons being really terrible places to live, or like us having death penalties, when really those kinds of things aren't really helping anyone. They're just causing the quote unquote bad people more negative emotions, whereas if we understand that, you know, there is a reason why those people acted that way, then we can focus more on like targeting that and fixing problems rather than just trying to get revenge or something. So that's not to say that I don't think that, you know, we should have prisons or anything. I still definitely think that we should separate certain people from society, because there are certain people whose brains, I guess, don't calculate things in the same way as most people's, and they inherently value things like pain. There are certain ways that brains can turn out to be wired that cause people to think that way and to value those things. And that's really, it's really harmful to have those people in societies, because those are people who, you know, are serial rapists or serial killers. So definitely separating them from society is for the common good. But I don't think that necessarily those places, you know, where, in which they're separated, in which they're held, need to be terrible places to live. Because, I mean, if I were in that situation, if I were so unfortunate to have been born with, or like, I don't know, that kind of brain, or experienced some trauma that made my brain make such terrible decisions, then, you know, I would still want to be able to, you know, find some joy in life. I mean, really, I have said this before, perhaps as a joke, but also maybe not, that like people in prisons, rapists, serial killers, whoever, should have access to like virtual reality with which they can live out their fantasies, not on real people, and, you know, kill and to their heart's content, which sounds perhaps a bit extreme, but really, I mean, if they're not hurting anyone else, then why not, you know? So that, I think, is the kind of thinking that would result from a widespread understanding of determinism and widespread acknowledgement of it. Yeah, so that's the idea of it. Maybe some remain unconvinced. So I do want to just talk a bit about the reasoning for why it seems so obvious to me that determinism is true. I kind of touched on it, but so really it stems from physics. I mean, in physics, let's say you're like, I'm sure most people have like tried predicting where like a baseball is gonna land, and if you have like the initial velocity and angle at which the baseball is going, then you can deduce where it's going to land based on, you know, gravity, because all matter follows the laws of physics. So then if you imagine, so the brain is just made up of like, you know, matter. The brain is made up of matter. It's just chemicals. And those are made of particles, and particles act like baseballs. When they're hit at certain angles and velocities, we can predict where they're going to go. So theoretically, I mean, it's a really complex, you know, the universe is an infinitely complex system, so we can't actually do these things. But theoretically, if we knew the position and velocity of every particle in the universe, we would be able to predict the next instant, and then we would know where every particle is and its velocity in that next instant. So then we'd be able to predict the next, and so on and so on, until we would know all futura. And yeah, so in that sense, the reason why it's called determinism is because in that sense, the future is determined. There's only one way for it to play out, given the way things are now, which is given the way things were in the very beginning. It's all, you know, it's all laid out. We just need time to reveal to us what the future will be. And that at one point was pretty widely accepted by scientists. In more recently, after quantum mechanics started being figured out and researched, people became convinced that actually quantum mechanics is different, and maybe you've heard a bit about this, that it's probabilistic and not, some people say it's indeterministic. But after studying quantum mechanics and trying to really understand the root of that debate, I think that, you know, there's just a lot that we don't understand about quantum mechanics, but there's really no evidence that, you know, if we had all the information about quantum systems, we wouldn't be able to predict how they would unfold either. Yeah, basically, the uncertainty stems from our own inability to, whereas like with a baseball, you can measure its position and velocity, and we can actually in practice predict where it's going to land given those two things. In quantum mechanics, you can't know position and velocity of a particle. So in that sense, every prediction we make about where they're going to go has to be probabilistic, because we don't fully know the initial conditions. But that doesn't mean that if we didn't know the initial conditions, we wouldn't be able to accurately predict with as much certainty as on macroscopic scales. Yeah. And the, you know, people cite many reasons and have many theories for why we can't know the position and velocity of quantum particles, but ultimately it's my understanding that it's just because of our, you know, measuring devices. And like we're, like I said, we're in the system, so time is always passing. We can't stop time to measure the position and velocity of particles, and they're so delicate, so small, that when we try to measure their position, we really change the position and velocity. So in an instant, if we take a measurement of the position, then we've changed the velocity, and then when we go to measure the velocity, the position's all different. So we can't in one instant know both, because it takes time to measure them both, and because in measuring both, we affect them. So we can't know them both at once. So there's really nothing that mysterious to it, although you may read otherwise. But yeah, so determinism, I think, all in all, determinism is the way the world works. We don't have free will, but that's not a bad thing, and really that can be considered a good thing. We just need to work on how we integrate that idea into our lives. And more than just with like prisons, I think that being convinced of this idea has just made me a more sympathetic understanding person in general, because now, like, whenever I don't agree with a decision someone makes or don't understand, my first thought is that, like, oh, there's something here that I don't know. Because what determinism says is that everything does make sense. You know, everything is logical. If something doesn't make sense, then there's something you don't know. And I think that that's really exciting. Because it's like an opportunity for me to understand something better and figure something out. And I have really found that to be the case. There's always, everyone always has a reason for everything. And I'm really, you know, it's a really great feeling to learn things, because I'm like, oh my gosh, that, like, these things that I really was convinced of my whole life suddenly make so much sense now that I've, like, had the thought to just explore further, like, what people mean by certain things or why people have done what they've done. And, yeah, I think that I have really found that all anyone is trying to do in life is what they think is best for their community, whoever they feel their community is. And that makes sense, you know, biologically, evolutionarily. You know, we just want to stay alive, and we want our communities to thrive. So that's what we do. And sometimes people are misguided or misinformed or simply just wrong about what is going to lead to their community thriving, but that doesn't mean that their intentions were bad. So we're all just doing our best out here, and there's a good reason for everything. You just have to maybe change your perspective a bit, which I think is a theme throughout physics, but yeah, it really applies to human nature. And so, yeah, I think it's just a really happy, heartening idea. And I hope that maybe I said something that was new in here and got y'all thinking. And thanks for listening, and hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks. Bye.